Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Now, when Colin Campbell's two teenage children were killed by a drunk driver, he was understandably thrown headlong into a grief so deep he felt he might lose his mind. Through that grief, though, he learnt something and now hopes to offer others the way to more actively and fully mourn profound loss. It's great to have you on the show with us, Colin.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, I hate to do these things because I'm going to have to ask you some really hard questions. So I apologize in advance, but I know you want to help others and everything is in your book. So can I ask, it was your daughter's Ruby and Heart. When and what happened?
Yeah. My daughter Ruby and my heart son. My son's heart.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize.
No worries. We were driving out to the high desert. So we live in Los Angeles, and there's a little town in the high desert called Joshua Tree. And we were struck by a drunk and high driver going 90 miles an hour. And the kids were in the back seat, and they were killed on impact.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I don't think anybody can imagine. And I think you're very brave to talk about it today. But you found that obviously in the beginning and the first few years, tough. But you did try to get help through reading books, but none of them really seemed to help.
Yeah, well, they all gave me a kernel of help, something that was very useful. But ultimately, I found that a lot of them fell short for me, just in terms of guiding my wife Gail and I through this horrible tragedy, often about community, about how do you keep your community with you, you know, as you grieve, because so often people who suffer losses feel isolated and alone. They feel like their communities abandoned them, and Gail and I really found that there are ways to reach out and keep that community with you.
So what are we supposed to be doing? I mean, as people, we're all very sympathetic, but we seem to be worried about saying the wrong things.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a misconception, the idea that you have to say the right thing, that there's something that you can say that's going to solve the problem or take away their pain, because that's just not true. No one's going to take away the pain of loss. People have to feel it. So I think you can, in a way, take the burden off of the people around the grievers. Their real job is to stick with them and listen, you know, be there and walk with them in their, as they grieve.
Yeah.
You don't have to come up with a perfect thing to say at all, really. Just, you know.
And I suppose it's asking the question, isn't it? Because some people think, well, I won't talk about it because they don't want to, or I will talk about it because they might want to. I suppose it's best to ask, because each day must feel different.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately you're absolutely right. You want to ask. You want to ask and check in. And, you know, how are you doing today is a great question, I think, because, you know, how's it going? Well, it's going really badly. But in this moment, how are you? You know, and then also, I think accompanying them by offering to be with them, you know, and I think a lot of times grievers in the early days want to be alone or think they want to be alone. And so oftentimes they'll say, like, no, I don't want anything. I don't want to take a walk with you. But that's going to change over time. And they are going to want to take a walk with you and talk about their grief at some point. And so I think the idea is to stick with them, you know, keep checking in. Can we take a walk on Saturday?
Yeah. And if you feel like it on Saturday, yes. And they'd have to understand if you suddenly don't feel like it on Saturday.
Exactly. There's got to always be that possibility of canceling last minute.
Yeah. And what about the anger, Colin? Because as well as the grief and the sadness, you must be terribly angry with the person that did it.
Yeah. And the tough thing about that rage is that it's not just localized to her. It just, for me, it wells up, and at times I just feel a little out of control. I feel like I'm angry at the whole universe. And I feel angry at the people around me, even though they're the ones that are trying to help me, you know? And so, my wife and I, we found some things that helped us navigate that anger, that rage. And one of the ones that was most helpful is actually the idea of kindness, the kindness as an antidote to rage. So I say sometimes when I'm, you know, behind the wheel of my car and I'm starting to feel angry at other drivers and I'm starting to talk to myself, you know, I catch myself like, wait a minute, what's happening here? And then I find that if I start to act kind, like if I let some people who want to merge into my lane, let them merge ahead of me, I start to feel less rage. I start to feel, if I act kind, I start to feel kind.
Yes. No, I get that. And does the book give any advice about your close-knit family and friends? Because obviously they're going to grieve too, not as much as you and your wife, and they want to be there for you, but you probably want to be there for them as well.
Yeah, I think that's really a powerful idea, you know, that we're grieving in community. I think a lot of people think that the people closest to the tragedy are, they should be left alone, and they're the ones that go off in the corner and somehow magically get better over time. But actually, I think it's not true. I think it's true that we all grieve together, and that it's so helpful if we can stay in community as we grieve and really be there for each other, rather than the idea that, you know, you grieve by yourself. You know, you grieve all by yourself.
Yeah, it must be awful if you are somebody who's grieving and they are on their own. They have no family and friends.
Ah, well, in that case, there are grief groups, you know, there are groups of people who are grieving. And I think those are so helpful, to again, be in community with people who get it, you know, those grief groups have been very powerful for me, very helpful.
Yeah, that's good to know. And I know that you're clear to say about your book, you're not a therapist, you're not a licensed grief counselor, but you know, you've been there and done it. And if you can help other people along the way by sharing what you went through.
Yeah, that was really the idea. You know, I saw in a lot of these grief groups, you know, people would, they'd share, you know, their aching loss, their pain, their shock. And then it would pretty quickly shift to how they had been abandoned by their friends and family. It's such a common refrain in these grief groups that, you know, my friends don't get it. They don't talk to me anymore. And I really found, my wife and I found that there are ways of reaching out to friends and telling them what you need, that your friends want to hear that, you know, they want to help you, but they don't know how, as you said earlier. And only you, the griever, really know exactly what you need. Right. And if we can find the strength to share that and the courage to share those needs with our community, it helps everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose everybody, has been through grief at some point, not as tragically as you have. But everybody knows their own grief. They're going through their own journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And you never know, right, when you encounter somebody out in the wild, who are they grieving? You know, what's going on in their life? And it's helped me certainly to have a little more perspective, a little more compassion for others.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you're a writer and director for theatre and film as well, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
And you also have, I can't say it on the radio, but you have a solo performance.
I do.
Called A One Man's Blank Show.
Yes, yes. Grief, A One Man's Blank Show, yes.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I started writing it very soon after the crash, just a couple of days after the crash.
Wow.
Because I had this need to express myself and also process this crazy experience. Like, what's happening to me? I literally couldn't understand it. And so writing about it and some of the absurdities, it helped me. And I showed it to my wife, just the earliest draft, just a couple pages long. And she said, I love it. Keep writing. And I did. And it turned into a full length play, a solo show. And it's very dark, but humor. There's humor in it. Mm. But it's very dark. And I think powered by a lot of anger but my, you know, quote unquote character goes through an arc in the course of the play. And so at first I'm just railing at all these, you know, outrageous things that are happening to me as I grieve. And then I start to gain some wisdom and some compassion and perspective, by the end of the piece. And so I think it's a nice, uplifting journey in the end. And I performed it out here in Los Angeles for the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And then I took it to New York for a month. And it just, I just got back a couple weeks ago from that run.
Wow.
It's powerful for me to perform it. And then people who come to my show, they either know somebody who's grieving or they're grieving. And it's nice to be in community.
Yeah. Well done. And the actual book, Finding the Words, was that cathartic or was it tough to write?
Both. I wept writing every page, and then I wept editing every page. it's all part of the grief. I mean, crying is not so bad necessarily for me now. You know, I have a different relationship to crying. Sometimes I just need to cry, and to cry for Ruby and Hart, you know?
Yeah, indeed.
There's no way around that. And writing it was a way for me to process some of that again and again, and then empowering to share it. You know, I think people have, every few days I get somebody writing a note to me, you know, I just read your book and it's so, so helpful, and thank you so much. And that means the world to me.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Well, we're selling the book on our website for our listeners. It's called Finding the Words, Working Through Profound Loss with Hope and Purpose. It's by Colin Campbell, who we're chatting to now. And for those that don't know, our website is tre.radio. Colin, do you have a website as well?
I do. It's colincampbellauthor.com. And then I'm also on Instagram at colincampbellwriter.
Colin Campbell, right? I suppose it's just easy to have your name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being so open and honest and sharing your story on today's show. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.